Hi everyone, welcome to the Microsoft IoT Deep Dive. Today is a special deep dive because we are actually doing a Microchip University session. This is the first session out of many that we're partnering up with Microchip University. I'm super excited about this. We're gonna deep dive all about connecting devices to the cloud. So today the session is called Connecting MCU and MPU Devices to the Cloud with Azure IoT. And I am joined here today with JR from Microchip. Hi, JR.
Hi, Pamela. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I'm really excited for you to talk about our partnership and us to deep dive together on how to get started. But did you want to talk a little bit about what you do at Microchip?
Yeah, thanks, Pamela. So I'm a worldwide group leader for a group of field applications engineers specializing in wireless connectivity and IoT applications.
Wonderful. And then we also are joined here by our other speaker, Quinn. Quinn is my partner in crime here at Microsoft, focusing on connecting devices to the cloud. Quinn, do you want to give a little bit about what you do here at Microsoft?
Yeah, definitely. Hello, everyone. My name is Quinn Trend. I am a PM in the Azure Edge and Platform team, and my work mainly is to enable a device provisioning service and IoT plug and play in the ecosystem. And I'm very glad to be here. Hello, Pamela. Hello, JR. Looking forward.
Yes. Well, I am excited because deep dives are live events, so you can have the live Q&A if you have any questions. And if you're viewing on demand, don't worry. We do have information on how to contact us after the event, and we'll provide that at the end. So let's go ahead. I'll give a little bit of information on who I am. My name is Pamela Cortez. I'm from the Microsoft Azure IoT product team. I focus on the integration of our devices and working with partners like Microchip on how to make it easy to connect our devices to the cloud. And then also I focus on our device developer community. So as a fellow embedded developer myself, I'm really excited that we can start off this session and these series of sessions to really talk about how to work with devices like the SAM-E54 to the PIC IoT board and connect it to the cloud. All right, so for today, what we're gonna do is a deep dive in a couple different areas. The first is the Better Together story. And this is all about, you know, what Microchip and Microsoft are doing together. And that's really just this level set. So if you're coming from the Microchip side, give you a little background about how we're doing integrations together, which dev boards are we supporting at this moment. Then I'm gonna go into the Azure IoT overview, just a level set of what our products and services are, but more to talk about what are the different ways of building an IoT solution, high level. And then I'll go into the device story and really talk about working with Azure RTOS. What is RTOS in general? What is our offering in this area? And then deep dive into how to get started. So I'll jump into a demo. The demo will go through how to use Azure RTOS, our SDKs on a SAM-E54 board, and take that data from the sensors and connect it and send it to the cloud. Then we're going to hand it over to Quinn. She's going to go ahead and talk about the device provisioning service. She'll talk about why that's important when you are connecting one to thousands of devices and you need to be able to scale quickly. And she'll talk about how you can use device provisioning to do that securely. And then she'll do a demo that showcases with the PIC IoT board. As you can see, she's holding it up right now. I got a little one over here as well. And she's going to go ahead and do that in demo with DPS and working with the PIC IoT board and sending data to the cloud with Azure IoT Hub. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. It's a lot of material we're going to cover. This is really that overview session and showing inspiring you with demos. All of the other sessions will in the future that we'll be doing with Microchip will be even more deep diving in the technical how to get started with each one of these. All right, so JR, I'm going to hand it over to you to talk about what we're doing together.
Yeah, so this is Better Together, Microchip and Microsoft, really together as industry leaders in the cloud and embedded side, providing you know, durable services and goods to the connected market for many years, working together really to meet you where you're at, rather than forcing you into, you know, massive design flow changes just to connect your gear to the cloud. So by working together on really the total system solution from both the embedded and the cloud side, Microchip and Microsoft have really together walked in your shoes. It can be difficult connecting a product to the internet. Oftentimes, many products aren't really born with IoT capabilities. They're existing equipment that then needs to add connectivity and security and cloud services. In order to do that, there are uncommon combinations of skills required to create these IoT devices. And we've kept that in mind throughout our development, being very cognizant of either side on different areas where different levels of expertise on different sides can make it a little bit more difficult to connect these. Full system level security has been a priority from the beginning, so you can ensure that you're starting your first minimum viable product with maximum viable security. We realize that you have this existing equipment, you know, or maybe new equipment that you would like to connect to, and you prefer to stay within your preferred microcontroller architecture, be it 8 or 16 or 32-bit, with or without an RTOS or even Linux on an MPU. The cloud side needs to be simple to get started with, then easily scalable to production. Together, we recognize that there's many turnkey cloud solutions that are not really scalable to a full production environment, and that on both embedded and the cloud side, simple comes at the cost of scalable, and scalability comes at the cost of usability. Together, we realize that and are simplifying the cloud side for embedded developers and making the embedded side more straightforward for the cloud side developers, all while keeping the implementation of your product production grade devices in mind. So here are the devices. I mentioned we're creating solutions supporting several different MCU architectures as well as a microprocessor, all connecting to Azure IoT Hub and or Azure IoT Central in the case of the MPU. So starting on the left, a fully integrated system on module, or SOM as we call it, with a Cortex-A5 class MPU, integrated crypto accelerators, 2 gigabit built-in DDR memory to simplify your layout, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, really provides all you need to get started for developing with Azure IoT Edge runtime on Linux on a simple to work with and production grade system. This single-sided SOM form factor really simplifies the design rules of the main application board, so reducing your overall PCB complexity and cost. The board design files are available to download from microchip.com if you prefer to melt the design directly onto your PCB or do a somewhat customized design. We provide these design files to you. The next is the SAMe54 kit. It's based on a Cortex M4 class processor and runs Azure RTOS ThreatX and middleware. This kit communicates over Ethernet now and Wi-Fi soon. The code to get started for this is available on GitHub. Moving to the next two kits, both the SAM IoT and the Trust Platform kits are based on the SAMD21 Cortex M0 Plus core and run the bare metal embedded SDK with IoT plug and play. SAM IoT will be available soon, and the Trust Platform is available now with the code already up on GitHub. Lastly, the PIC IoT kit is based on the popular 16-bit PIC24 MCU and also runs the bare metal embedded SDK with IoT plug and play. Like the SAM IoT kit, it has Wi-Fi on board with the Wink 1510 Wi-Fi device, and the code to get started for that is available up on GitHub. And so all of these kits, regardless of their relative cost and performance differences, utilize the ATECC 608 secure element for private key storage and authentication with Azure IoT Hub. So for more on Azure IoT, I will hand it back to Pamela.
Thanks, JR. And I love that you gave us that nice breakdown of the support that we're working on together. And so thanks for giving that overview, especially for folks who are, you know, on the Microchip side, just learning about Azure today. So this was great for them to see that integration that we're working on. So really, just this slide that I'm showing right now is just to show that when we think of IoT and devices ecosystem, there is so many use cases, so many devices that are going to be connected, that is connected and will be connected. I saw a stat recently that said that by 2025, we're probably going to have 150K devices connected every minute, which is just like mind blowing. That's a lot of devices. And so you can imagine, we need to make sure that the developers like yourself and us, that we focus on being able to simplify that process and make it easier for everyone to connect these devices to the cloud. And so it's great that we're partnering up with Microchip to make sure that integration is solid, and make sure that all of you can get started quickly. So I always like to say, you know, when you're building with Azure, there's actually multiple ways you can build with Azure IoT. There's two big paths on building end-to-end IoT solutions. Before I jump into that, I just wanted to kind of go over, when we think of building these IoT solutions, how we kind of bucket the different subsystems of building an IoT solution. And this is just to help everyone who's viewing understand that there's a lot of products and services, but really there's these core subsystems that you can use when building an IoT solution. And then we'll deep dive into the area that we care about the most today, which is actually connecting those devices to the cloud. So on the Azure portfolio side, the way that we're helping and working with Microchip is that we're working with that integration with our device SDKs. So if you could see on the left side of the slide, it's Things, and Things is all about connecting those devices. It's the devices themselves. So we have the device SDKs that include devices that are small embedded devices, all the way to gateway devices. And so we have offerings to make it easier to connect to Azure IoT Hub, which I'll talk about what is Azure IoT Hub in a short bit, but connect it to the cloud. Then we have a runtime that we call the Azure IoT Edge runtime. This is really meant to be deployed on devices where you need to take all of that workload that you've been doing in the cloud, like AI models, machine learning, predictive maintenance, and deploying it to an edge device. And then we have Windows IoT and Azure Sphere. And so we saw that first bucket of things. Our next bucket when it comes to building an IoT solution, an end-to-end one, is insights. So you need to be able to take that data and put it into the cloud. And to order to do that, we have what we call Azure IoT Hub. And that's really our cloud gateway. This is a way where we'll be able to do that bi-directional communication. So to device to cloud, cloud back to device. So we have all of these products and services on Azure side to be able to build a full end-to-end solution and gather insights. And that even includes, you know, being able to process, identify patterns, and operate on those insights. We can use even services like Azure Stream Analytics to filter, you know, relevant information, why the data is in flight. We even have offerings where you store the data somewhere. So let's say you want to store it in Warmpath for immediate use, or even offload data to cold storage for long-term processing. We have those offerings. And so with all of those, you know, products and services icons that you see right there in the middle to gather those insights, kind of think of them as like Lego blocks. These are really our platform services. And because IoT solutions are all very different from each other and have different use cases, you may use some of these Lego blocks to build your IoT solution, or you might not. And so these are products and services just to help you building your solution. And then if you see on the far right side, we have actions. Once you've collected that data, you derive some insights from that data, you need to do some sort of action with that data that's already part of your business integration. So that's one way that you can build an IoT solution. The next way is with Azure IoT Central. So you can see our things side and our action side stays the same, but right in the middle, all those products and services like Azure IoT Hub, device provisioning service, Azure Maps, Time Series Insights, a bunch of different products and services to build an IoT solution. we actually can manage it on our side. And so if you just want to quickly connect your device and be able to make an actual application quickly, we do have Microsoft Azure IoT Central. So this really simplifies that production ready IoT application for you. It already has a nice dashboard. You can customize the dashboard. It makes it easy to manage. So wanted to do that call out. And if you're interested in learning more about building full end-to-end IoT solutions, we do have an architectural reference diagram and guide to help you out. And you can see that we have these products and services, mostly this SDK and Azure RTOS, making it easy for you to connect to IoT Hub, which is our cloud gateway. And so to send that data back and forth, so device to cloud, cloud to device. So you have that IoT Hub, and then you have the two paths that I just talked about building an IoT solution. One is that custom solution where you're using the Lego blocks, which is the platform services. And the second way is with IoT Central, which is the managed application platform that you can use. So I'm going to just go ahead and jump into what is RTOS. And you know, we mentioned all the support that we have on the device side, but we're going to talk and kind of focus a little bit about RTOS. For those who don't know what RTOS is, it's really a real-time operating system. And I'm going to talk about RTOS in general before even getting to Azure RTOS. So this is different from having a traditional operating system or even a general purpose operating system. RTOS really provides the services and manage processor resources for applications. These resources include the processor execution, memory, peripherals, and interrupts. But really the main purpose of an RTOS is to allocate processing time among various duties when it comes to embedded software that the embedded software must perform. It normally, when you think of RTOSs, it typically features preempted, time-bound capabilities with predictive response times. That is really important, the predictable response times and that time-bound capabilities. And a great example of that is different applications that require that predictability and response time to events. So the first example I'm thinking of at the top of my head is anti-brakes. You can imagine time is of the essence there as a safety crucial application. In addition to the processor research management, some may include connectivity, file management, USB, graphic development and design capabilities. But you know, if you're a developer, at the end of the day, what you're really going to care about is the ability to execute multiple tasks at the same time with a single processing core for that fast real-time processing. Also, you're going to want to have flexible ways to execute tasks. You're going to want full capabilities even for those resource-constrained systems. RTOS is really for, it has a really small footprint and really for those resource constrained systems. And so that's a little bit about RTOS high level. Now let's talk about Azure RTOS in general. So Azure RTOS, we're actually a suite. It's not just the RTOS itself. It's actually a full suite of middleware and tooling for developing embedded IoT applications. And so this could be anywhere from Fitbits to printers, anything that's like a small device or resource constrained device could really benefit on using Azure RTOS. And so features an Azure RTOS ThreadX, it's small, fast, reliable, real-time operating system that's already powering many devices out there. And one thing that's really nice about Azure RTOS is fully supported. As that second line on the slide says, there's It's an easy to use solution. And really why it's easy to use is because it's a full suite. And I'll show you in the next slide a little bit about what's part of that suite. But when you think about RTOSIS, normally it is the RTOS itself and not a full suite. And I'll showcase what's available within that suite. You can access the power of Azure IoT. This is nice with Azure RTOS because you can quickly work with RTOS and work with the SDK to get it connected to Azure IoT and use all those downstream products and services when building an IoT solution and just get started quickly. This is really nice for those who really want to go from proof of concept to production quickly and know that you have full support with Azure RTOS. One thing to keep in mind with Azure RTOS is not, even though Azure's in its name and we have great integration with Azure RTOS, we can actually support other cloud solutions out there as well. But yeah, out of the box connectivity to Azure RTOS. And then the last one is easy access. Easy access is because we actually have taken all those components and put it on GitHub. And this is nice because if you want to go ahead and just get started today, you could just go to GitHub, download, go ahead and play with it. We have agreements with Microchip as well. So this is just a great way to get your hands on it. So when I talked earlier about how this is actually a suite, we have ThreadX, which is actually the RTOS itself. This is really a high performance, real time operating system, super small footprint, and then all of these other components as well to support ThreadX and integrate with ThreadX. So you could see that we have support even in GUIX Studio. This is a complete design environment and runtime to create and maintain 2D graphic user interfaces. And then we have anywhere from USBX, which is a USB stack that provides host device and on-the-go support, which is really nice when you want to get started quickly. And then we have other components to help you build your embedded application. In a future session, I'm actually going to be going through these different components and how to build with them. All right, so where is Azure RTOS being used? So when we acquired Express Logic has been around for the last 20 years. We're already deployed in 6.2 billion devices worldwide. These devices range from small fitness wearables devices to cameras to thermostats or any other commercial devices to cell phones. So even your cell phone most likely has ThreadX in it, printers. And then we're also in aerospace. Bonus points for anyone who can guess that orbiter at the end. So if you're an aerospace nerd, I would love for you to, guess that. Just to give you a little hint that we are a little bit closer. ThreadX is actually closer to Mars than Elon Musk has ever been. So just to give you a little hint of which orbiter that one is. But we've been deployed in many different types of devices, but a lot of these devices needed that real-time capability. And we're continuing to grow on the offerings and different types of devices, and it's being used across multiple industries. And so I talked a little bit about when you want to take a device and use our SDK to connect to Azure IoT Hub, Azure RTOS actually has nice integration with our embedded CSDK. So it's just a great way to do that bidirectional communication with Azure IoT. That way, you can do that in a small footprint versus, deploying these big SDKs just so you connect to the cloud. Well, you don't really have that option sometimes when working with the RTOS. Footprint matters always. And so being able to make sure that we have a small footprint with that SDK is super important. And so that's why we have that integration with our embedded SDK to be able to send that telemetry up to the cloud. We'll deep dive a little bit more in the future of our embedded story when it comes to the embedded CSDK. But when it comes to the device SDKs, we did have, and we do have, a CSDK. But the CSDK was really meant for, you know, devices that were using Linux and Windows. And so we came up with an embedded CSDK. And the point of that is that we really needed a SDK that can be a small footprint for these resource constrained devices. And so we'll deep dive in a future session about how to work with the embedded CSDK. And we'll provide resources in this session for you to get started with that particular SDK. We also have really great integrations with developer tools. So as JR has mentioned in the beginning, you know, we really wanted to meet you where you're at. So we wanted to make sure you weren't tied into just one IDE to work with. So we really wanted to make sure we work very closely with Microchip on getting integration with their tooling. And so on the Azure side, you know, we have Azure IoT Hub support and Edge support for VS Code and Visual Studio, but we also have a nice UI for Azure IoT Explorer. It's a nice tool to be able to just see the data coming in and then being able to send messages back to your device. So we do have that nice tool. And then if you're someone who wants to do everything in the command line, we do have Azure IoT CLI extension support. So even if you want to use PowerShell or use this extension, you can do that, which is really nice. And I'm going to actually hand it over to JR to talk a little bit about some of the tooling support that we have for Azure IoT with Microchip.
Yeah, thanks, Pamela. So there's three important components there on the 32-bit side. So MPLAB X IDE is an integrated development environment that our compilers plug into. 8, 16, and 32-bit compilers plug in right to MPLAB X IDE. It's available in both free and pro versions. On the 32-bit side, MPLAB Harmony is an embedded software framework that does have full support for Azure RTOS integrated within. And just a quick word on the RTOS, it's really important. You know, a lot of embedded designs that exist out there today are just a big state machine. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some interrupt here and there, but when you add connectivity, now you have this asynchronous, non-time critical data that's coming in and going out. And RTOS is a really good way to manage that asynchronous, non-time critical data. So having that support for Azure RTOS on the 32-bit side is great, but the MPLAB X, XC8, 16, and 32-bit compilers are available for all of the different architectures across the Microchip products. In addition to the MPLAB environment, we also have support for other popular tools like IAR.
Thanks, JR. I'm going to go ahead and jump into our first demo, which is Time to Cloud. All right, let's jump into the first demo. The first demo is called Time to Cloud. If you're, you know, it sounds like a lot of the folks viewing in today have worked with development boards, and you've probably heard time to blink. It's when you connect a development board and see how quickly you can blink an LED. And so this one's very similar. So I called it Time to Cloud, where we're going to connect the SAM-E54 eval kit, send telemetry. In this case, we're sending temperature, just because it's a really popular telemetry to send. And we're going to go ahead and send that to Azure IoT Hub through our Azure SDK for Embedded C and Azure RTOS. Remember, IoT Hub is our cloud gateway. And then we're going to go ahead and see that data coming in through Azure IoT Explorer. And if you're interested in digging more into how to build an end-to-end solution, how to work with Azure RTOS, what are the different elements of the embedded CSDK and what's possible. I'm going to be hosting another session early January, so definitely check that out. We're excited to have you there. So think of this one as just a quick overview on, you know, how to connect your, how to get started with the SAM-E54. With Azure RTOS and the embedded CSDK. one of the first things we're going to want to do is make sure we have the right tooling. And so today we're going to be using MPLAB X IDE, but you can use IAR if you want to. And so we did mention some potential other IDEs you can use, and that is supported. But I'm excited. I've been using MPLAB X for the SAM E54. It's already downloaded on my computer and ready to go. So recommend for you to check it out and have that IDE ready for your machine if you're interested in getting started. Next, recommend downloading the Azure IoT Explorer. As we mentioned before, it's really a cross-platform UI for interacting with devices attached to Azure IoT Hub. And so what's nice about this is that you can see all your devices on IoT Hub. You can create new devices. You can go ahead and visualize the data, send messages back to the device. And so this is just kind of a nice UI to be able to do that in. It's not required. You could do pretty much everything through the command line, but it's just really nice to be able to have this UI. Now, Azure RTOS, we have on GitHub all of the components. This is really nice because if you want to get started quickly, you can go ahead and get the components. You have getting started guides and samples. And so this is just a nice way of being able in one place to get all of this code ready for you to get started quickly. And so for today, I'm just going to show you an example that we have under samples here that you can use today. All right, so I already have MPLAB downloaded on my machine, ready to go. I have that samples Azure IoT embedded SDK. Now there's going to be three things that you're going to want to add here. And that is the host name of your IoT hub, your device ID, and your primary key. And so what we're going to go ahead and do first, we're going to need to actually create an Azure IoT hub before we can even get that information and create a device that lives on that IoT hub as well. So there's a couple different ways you can do that. And so you can do that by going to Azure portal. And creating an IoT hub. And if this is your first time seeing Azure, the portal, and ever working with Azure, we have a lot of great documentation on how to create an Azure account and a subscription and just get started quickly. And if it is your first time creating an account, we do have a really great deal where you get some more extra free services the first year, and you get some credits to work with as well. But just keep in mind, IoT Hub does have a free tier. So if it's your first time working with it, you could do all of the different features with IoT Hub on the free tier. You're only limited on message count, so it doesn't cost you a dime. So I've already created an IoT Hub, but if you're interested in how to create an IoT Hub, there's a couple different ways. One, you can create a new resource and click IoT Hub. And in the marketplace, it's going to actually pop up with IoT Hub. So you can see IoT Hub here too. And we even have a category of Internet of Things of all of our different products and services. Now you can also do this through the Cloud Shell. The Cloud Shell is really nice because it's an interactive browser shell, and it's really meant for managing your Azure resources. You can choose from PowerShell or Bash, whatever you prefer. One of the first things you're going to want to do is go ahead and add the Azure extension. This is the Azure IoT extension, and so you can do that by okay, AZ extension. Oh, add Azure IoT. So it should say it's already installed because I've installed it before. And now I already have a resource group already set up and an IoT hub. But if I wanted to add a new device, I can do that through the command line as well. So right now for devices, if we go into the portal, you can see that I have a Microchip device 1 already enabled, ready, running telemetry. But if I wanted to create a new device, I could do that here in the Cloud Shell. We do that by doing AZ IoT Hub device identity command. I think I'm going to call this Microchip device 02 as my second device. Let's get in that hub name. This is our IoT hub name. And it should be creating a new device on this IoT hub. So you can see we're getting our information of this particular device. You know, when you're using that sample code, you're going to want to find the device ID and the primary code or primary key. And so we have the primary key here and then the device ID here. So we're going to use this information and insert that in the code. And the host name, you can find multiple different ways, and I'll show you that in a moment. But you know how we did everything in the command line? You can actually hit new and do exactly what I just did in the command line. It's just whatever your preference is, whatever you prefer. So this is the host name that we're also going to be putting into that sample code. So those are the three things. So here is the host name that I've inserted into the sample code, the device ID. This one's that Microchip device 1. However, we did create a second device just so you could see how to create a new device. And then added that primary key. And that's all you need to go ahead and get started. So all you'll do is build and then go ahead and hit debug. All right, so now we're in Azure IoT Explorer. You can see that we have our IoT hub already here for us to dig into. We have our first device, and then we have that second device that we just created showing up. The first device is what I actually have connected to my computer right now. So I'm going to click on that. And I've termite open. And I'm going to just hit the reset button, just so you can see it working in real time. So what's happening here is it's connecting to IoT Hub. The IoT Hub client has been initialized. And now we're starting to send telemetry up. And so you can actually see the telemetry here in Azure IoT Explorer. If I hit start, we should be seeing the telemetry and it being timestamped. And here you go. So you can see how quickly it got started from time to cloud, from getting our device, having the, you know, downloading MP Lab, X IDE, taking the sample code, going ahead and opening it, putting the three things in that sample, which is the, you know, the device ID, the host name, and the primary key, how to set up an Azure IoT Hub. You saw that there's actually many ways to set up an IoT Hub, whatever you prefer. If you're someone who prefers everything through the command line or through actually an IDE or through the portal itself, super easy to get started. And then being able to see the telemetry coming in and how you can actually, you know, do cloud to device messages. You can also do plug and play support, see your device twin and get some more information there. In the future session, as a reminder, we will be digging into more details on how to build with the different Azure RTOS components like GUIX. So I'm excited to showcase that. But this is really just showing how quickly it is to get started from your device to cloud. All right, now I'm gonna go ahead and hand it off to Quinn for her section to talk about device provisioning service. Thanks, Quinn.
All right, thank you so much, Pamela. Are you all ready? I'm gonna go through this briefly so that I won't lose you, and then we can go deep dive into device provisioning service in our future section, okay? So when we talk about device provisioning service or DPS, we put it in the context of device management lifecycle. And when you think about creating a device or a dev kit, right, besides just connect to a cloud, you have to initially plan it out. How are you gonna group your device and control the access according to your organization need? And the second thing is you're gonna go through provision, okay? And how you can securely connect the device on board for management and provisioning for service. And the next thing is, how would you want to configure it to provide the updates and the application to assign the purpose of each of the device? And when you configure and connect, the next thing you wanna do is properly monitor, right? That was the whole point. You wanna monitor your device inventory, the health, the security, and so that in case something happened to the device, you can provide a proactive solution to any of the issues coming along the way. And lastly, what's also important as well is the retire step. Okay, that step happens when you need to replace the device or decommission a device after a failure, or you just need an upgrade, upgrade cycle or services lifetime. And so right now, this is a whole full cycle. We're gonna go and double click specifically on the provisioning step. Okay, this next slide is very simple. It just explains to you why DPS is important. Why do we even bother to invest our time and create this whole services? And these are a couple of the scenarios that we think of, and there's much more, but I'm just gonna want to highlight some, okay? The first one is the initial connection, the bootstrapping step. And how do we do that with zero touch provisioning to a single IoT solution, scenario one. Scenario two is load balancing. How do you manage different devices in different hubs so that one hub won't be too overloaded and therefore delay the signal between your device and Azure. The next scenario is ownership based. Connecting device to the owner's IoT solution based on sales transaction data. So this is more like in the future, when you build a device, what if you want to transfer that ownership to somebody else, like a leasing of a device? DPS will help you with that smooth transitions over. And the next thing is location-based. Connecting a device to the IoT hub with lowest latency. DPS can help you with that. If either load, even load balancing, or we can help you smartly enough to choose the hub location such that it closes to your device locations to avoid the latency. And lastly is the reprovisioning step. It's based on the change in the device, for example, like the change in ownership, or you just need to change the owner of it. Then you don't have to touch the device. Instead, you can manage that from DPS, from the cloud side. So these are typical scenario of why DPS is needed, okay? And simple, what is DPS? Okay, from the textbook, DPS is a helper service for IoT Hub. It's enable, I'm reading from slide here, zero touch, just-in-time provisioning to the right IoT hub without the inquiry of human interventions. So that was hit into the point of security, hands-off, zero-touch provisioning. That was the meaning of it, right? And when you look into the picture, simple DPS is just the interface to help you safely connecting the IoT device, the things with, you know, with insights that need to take action from IoT Hub. So it's just a glue between that, make sure that security layer is there with smooth transitions. So in brief, provisioning a device to the cloud solution is registering your device and configure the device with the initial setup. Okay, simple as that. So now I'm just going to go through a quick flow of how the whole device being provisioning into IoT Hub using DPS. In this picture right here, you see four major players. The first one is your IoT device, the smart device with telemetry that need to get somehow to the end goal, what is the business logic, so that the business can use that telemetry to make a smart decisions and send the insight back to IoT Hub to talk to your device. And the last layer is the device provisioning service, where it helps with the connections. Okay, so the first step is at the manufacturer floor. When your device is first made, we will collect the device information and put it in the enrollment info and give it to DPS, give it a heads up and say, hey, in the future, there will be this device coming into talk to you, need to talk to you, and here's this information. Use this information to communicate with it to make sure it's the right device. So a day later, a month later, a year later, the device go online. It will automatically ping to DPS and say, DPS, which IoT hub I need to connect to? Where is my home? DPS like, wait a second, let me pull out your information and authenticate you. And in this authentication step, you can either use X509, symmetric key, or TPM information that you need to the device to identify it. It's just like your rival license, your ID, right? And then after that, DPS will say, hub, there's a device that needs to talk to you. Please register it and populate its initial configuration. IoT Hub will then send back to DPS the connection string. That connection string is unique to that IoT Hub and not any other IoT Hub, and so give it to your device. Once that happened, then now the device can talk to IoT Hub directly. That is where the connection is established. And then the IoT Hub will send it the device initial configurations that being designed for that specific device. And then device starts to send telemetry. Telemetry sent to business logic, what is this end goal? Business logic consume that telemetry, send back the insight and say, device, I need you to do something. I need to do this. And so that is it. That is simply device provisioning service. And now I'm going to bring all of the thing I talked to you into the perspective of this specific demo. In this one, we going to put into a big picture of how the device working with device provisioning service, working with IoT Hub and Azure IoT Explorer to do a very simple step, which is to view the telemetry from the cloud side. And the tool we're gonna use is MPLAB and Azure IoT Explorer. I include the project location GitHub link here that you can go through step by step later. And notice that in this specific demo, this is bare metal. We won't run any ATOS here. And it's just a different flavor in case you don't want to have any ATOS in your specific dev kit.
All right, so this is Microsoft Azure portal under my account. And in this one, I already create a DPS instance as well as IoT Hub instance. And so now I'm going to click onto the DPS instance that I create. Okay, and in this one, on the overview, you can see that there's the ID score for this DPS, what is very unique for this DPS. It will tell the device or the dev kit which DPS to go through. And then when it goes to DPS, it will then decide which IoT hub that this DPS would connect the device to. And that design based on this specific tab right here, when you say link to IoT hub, we have to choose which IoT hub that we want to link for beforehand. And in this case, I want to link to this hub as a West US. In the certificate, this is where I already do the work in the background to get the root certificate upload and done a proof of possessions. And this is the instance of an IoT hub. What you see right here is just a quick overview of the IoT hub with the hub name. What important to note is at the moment in IoT devices, let me load this, we won't see any of the device show up. And notice that in this there, in the overview, we have this specific host name, and that is where, when we go to Azure IoT Explorer, because we want to view the telemetry of the dev kit that connect to this hub, we provide the hub information here, and then we're gonna click to view the device in this hub to view the telemetry or the data that's flowing from this specific hub. Okay, so now I'm gonna connect the port and turn on the power. And when that happens, I'm going to go to MPLAB, make some modifications on some file to setting the ID scope to get the device connect to the correct DPS instance, and then also set up the Wi-Fi connection as well to enable connectivity. When that happened, I am going to make and program the device. Okay, this is now complete, and what we would expect to see is now there should be some activities from the cloud side if the device is connect successfully to the cloud. All right, so in here, let's go to our manage enrollment on our DPS, go to the enrollment group that we create beforehand, and looking for the registration record. You can see that the information now start to flow in. And in here, it recognized that the device I connect to have this specific ID ending in 52FE. And it connect to this specific hub right here, and the timestamp is this timestamp. And now if I go to IoT hub, go to IoT device, you will then start to see the device is showing up right here, right? 52FE. And the status is enabled and is self-serve. Okay, and what more interesting is now we have this hub connect to the graphical tools. We can then go back to home, go to this hub right here, and then to view the device. And then we see the device start to show up with the connections as that state is connected and authentication is self-serve X509 certificate, all right? And let's click to that device and see what happened. You can see here's a device ID with is very unique information from X509. And then now let's go to telemetries. And if you click start to telemetry, you can then see the information start to flow in. And it take about maybe every 5 seconds or so. And in here tell us about the temperatures, the timestamp, and if you want more details, you can click on Show System Properties, and here you can see more about the IDs, the authentication method, what is X509, the message source is telemetry, and so on. Okay, and so that is just a very quick step. So now you can pick up this specific dev kit going through the flow that we publish this on GitHub to enable this specific device. So this is the GitHub link right here, where we have step-by-step guidance. And there you are, you got the prototype already. And now you can just add in your own sensors on in addition to the available sensor of this dev kit, what is temperature sensor and light sensor to build out your own solutions. So that is it. That just concludes our demo of how we connect a physical dev kit, the PIC IoT, and authenticate it through DPS right? That we just create right here. And to allow the secure connection between the board and IoT Hub instance and be able to view telemetry from Azure IoT Explorer right here.
All right, that is the end of my demo. I hope you still stay awake. And now we're going to transition to develop the resources. And back to you, Pamela.
Yes, thank you, Quinn. Love that demo that you just did. It definitely helped explain what is device provisioning service, how you can get started with the PIC IoT board. And I love that this is a new integration that we have with Microchip too on getting support with the PIC IoT board. So it's just phenomenal to see. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about developer resources and then hand it off to JR to talk about Microchip University. So to get started on Azure IoT side, we do have Microsoft Learn. So if you want to go and do online tutorials, we have all of those labs all on Microsoft Learn. You can learn about Azure IoT products like IoT Hub, device provisioning service that Quinn just went over. And if you want to get your hands on that right now and learn, definitely check out that Microsoft Learn site. Next, we have a full video series and channel. So go ahead and check out our announcements, our training sessions. Go ahead and subscribe on YouTube to get the latest notifications. And so we're constantly adding new videos every week that's all about IoT, not just IoT Hub, but everything when it comes to IoT. Next is we have an IoT tech community. This is a great community where you can meet other people who are interested in IoT or developing IoT solutions. That includes even embedded developers to cloud application developers, all coming together to talk about IoT. So myself and others from the product team, we're there. So if you have questions, you can always reach out to us on that community and share your projects. Next, we have the Microsoft Q&A site. I like to just say this is kind of like Stack Overflow. Our engineering teams, we're all on there and answering your questions. So if you have a technical question, check out Microsoft Q&A. And you can also go on Stack Overflow too. We're monitoring Stack Overflow, making sure that we can help out and be part of the community as well. But this is another platform and channel for you. So if you're excited about learning more about what we showed you today and some more integration on how to get started, check out Microchip University. JR, did you want to give a little bit about what is Microchip University and what all of you guys are doing on that side?
Yeah, thanks, Pamela and Quinn, for being part of Microchip University. Microchip University is a brand new online learning site that Microchip just launched. Provides all kinds of training on Microchip products and tools, as well as general embedded control topics such as IoT and wireless and wired communication, human interface, motor control, FPGAs, bootloaders, advanced power supply design, all of these topics. The program just launched with about 20 classes, and there's a whole slew of classes coming soon. So go to microchip.com/MU to sign up for notifications about when new classes are posted, and then microchip.com/Azure for more details on the solutions we presented earlier. And thanks again, Pamela and Quinn. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, it's great to have you here. And thank you so much for having us part of the Microchip University. We're excited to do the upcoming sessions. You'll be able to see Quinn, myself, in those sessions teaching you how to get started. So we're excited to deep dive even more than we did today. So think of this as the overview session. And the next couple sessions, we're really going to deep dive and get our hands dirty right into the tech. And show you how to get started. So thank you again for joining, and we hope everyone has a great rest of the day and staying safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.